Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the latest production estimates from Statistics Canada are out, and they're showing a significant drop in crop production this past year due to drought. We'll have some numbers from Saskatchewan and nationally, and we will have some reaction to it from Commodity Futures Advisor with PI Financial, Adam Piccolo. Also coming up on today's program, the Manitoba Pork Council is warning of a labor shortage in the agriculture industry. We'll speak with General Manager Cam Dahl about that. And BC's Agriculture Minister has provided an update on the situation in that province following last month's major flooding event. We'll hear from Lana Popham on today's show. All that and much more on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio is looking to buy your canola. Call them today at 306-272-6284. The weather is also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Realty Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Phil, we had about an inch of snow last night, but it's bright and sunny now. Is this what we can expect for the rest of the day?
Yeah, the high pressure that's been building in is taking care of that cloud cover. We've got the sunshine, but it's not taking care of the wind just yet. We will see a very sharp drop-off of the wind as it goes from the gusty afternoon down to a nearly calm night. But we're not there yet. We'll be there later on this afternoon. In the meantime, we've still got 25 to 50 kilometer per hour winds. They've actually spiked over the last couple of hours. We're hitting our peak right now, and we'll drop off. But the gusts up to 55 or 60 at times. Temperature not moving much. It has held and actually recovered a few degrees, minus 5, but it will then level off. It's been level. It will wobble a bit and then drop off down to minus 14 tonight. But again, while the wind chill is close to minus 14 this afternoon, with very little wind, we'll almost see the wind chill stay consistent through the afternoon and tonight as the wind dies down at the same rate of temperature. A little cloud cover tonight. We'll call it partly cloudy, just to mention a few clouds. Tomorrow, clouds a little more prevalent. Sunshine will mix with those increasing cloudiness, the high near minus 6. Colder air is waiting. We've been watching for this cold air mass, trying to pin down the timing, thinking it's here on Monday, and that still looks to be the case. But now looking like we're actually going to start to get into it on Sunday. Temperatures fall Saturday night to minus 15. That in itself is not a sharp drop. That's a normal night. That's actually above normal night. But there is a chance for a couple of flurries by Saturday morning. That's the front coming in. And during the day on Sunday, as this front pushes through, the wind is fortunately not overly strong, but the cold air is building in. That means we'll be at that minus 15 in the morning. That'll be our peak for the day, and we'll slowly drop back through the afternoon. A little bit of snow around, not much. A couple of centimeters possible, especially early in the day on Sunday. Then mostly cloudy sky remains. By the end of the day, though, we're closer to minus 19. The wind chill, even with that lighter wind, in the minus 20s. The sunshine will be bright on Monday. I'm not expecting much cloud cover at all, but very little temperature rise either. Minus 22 is the high. Then a slow moderation from there. Minus 15 on Tuesday, and we're back into the normal range. Minus single numbers for Wednesday and Thursday.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at minus 11 degrees, Swan River and Roblin, minus 5, Dauphin and Shoal Lake Russell, minus 4, Brandon, minus 2. Regina, Broadview, Mooseman, and Indian Head, minus 3. Saskatoon, minus 7. Hudson Bay, minus 8. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, minus 6. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a west wind at 41, gusting to 55 kilometers an hour. 63% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 4 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 13 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of plus 1 degree and dropped to a low of minus 7 degrees. We received 1.8 millimeters of water equivalent precipitation in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is minus 8, the normal low minus 18. The sun rose in Yorkton at 8:35 this morning, and it will set at 4:45 this afternoon. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Pilot Mound at plus 2 degrees. The cold spot was Kelsey Dam at minus 35. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Val Marie at plus 10 degrees. The cold spot was Key Lake at minus 31 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time.
Side label directions.
Welcome back to GX and Agriculture. The latest production estimates from Statistics Canada shows a significant drop in crop production this past year due to drought. Wheat production dropped 48% to 21.7 million metric tons across Canada and 8.3 million tons in Saskatchewan. Wheat yields averaged 26 bushels an acre in Saskatchewan, down 43%. Canola production decreased 35% nationally to 12.6 million metric tons. Drought pushed canola yields to the lowest level since 2007, averaging 25 bushels in western Canada and 22 bushels an acre in Saskatchewan. Prairie barley production fell 35%, while oats dropped 43% due to the drought. But grain prices were showing a downward trend for the week. Commodity futures advisor with PI Financial, Adam Pacala, says canola futures dropped $3 a metric ton for the week, while wheat futures declined 20 cents a bushel.
Starting off on the canola front, it was a pretty volatile week here. January canola currently is down about $3 a ton on the week, even though today we're up about 12. We saw actually a pretty big move down on Tuesday this week, approximately $45 a ton, but we've actually rallied back higher here to near the contract closing highs on the January contract. On the Minneapolis wheat, the March futures are down approximately 20 cents a bushel. Minneapolis wheat has been trading fairly sideways trading pattern here since the end of October.
What are the factors pushing down canola and wheat?
Well, it has been a very volatile time for the general markets. And what I mean by general markets is talking a little bit more on the stock market side of things. With the new Omicron variant, that has been putting a bit of doubt into investors' minds. So we saw WTI oil drop approximately $12 a barrel, and that really just spread, you know, throughout the whole market. So there is a bit of a risk-off feeling, regardless of, you know, at the fundamental side of canola. Again, a Stats Can report came out today, but overall, there's been just quite a bit of volatility, and traders are watching closely as well, too, what is going on in South America for the weather side of things. Soybeans have been starting to increase a little bit here in the last 3 days, rallying approximately 50 cents a bushel, and soybean oil as well, too, recovering from some of the lows. And so that's definitely been helping the canola front.
So what's the outlook for next week and beyond?
Well, One thing to note is how the January contract is going to be coming up to expiry here in the next month. And like we saw in previous contracts, there's definitely going to be volatility. There's no question about that. And we'll see possibly the March contract start to push above that $1,000 a ton again here. On the Minneapolis wheat front, again, there has been a quite tight trading range on Minneapolis wheat. I'm watching $10 a bushel on the lower end or for support, and approximately $10.60 a bushel on the higher end is resistance. So it has been trading pretty tightly between there in the last month and a half or so.
And of course, the Stats Canada crop report came out today. What's your take on it?
Well, looking at the Stats Can report, first off on the canola side, they reported canola production fell to the lowest level since really 2007 on poor yields. Canola production, they mentioned, came out at 12.6 million tons, which is down about 35.4% from last year. Saskatchewan in particular, production was down about 45.4%. Alberta down about 31.1%, and Manitoba production down 28.2%. So overall, this report, I would say, just confirmed what, you know, many believe was true, actually. There was really no surprise, I would say, in the report. As you can see today in trading, canola up approximately $11 a ton on January right now.
So would you consider this report positive or negative for markets?
I would actually kind of say kind of more on the positive side right now, but to be honest, it isn't a very large report kind of mover here, because it's more confirming what I would say traders already believe to be in the market. And that's why I think we're just seeing, you know, even today, for example, Minneapolis wheat is actually down 11 cents a bushel on the day. Yet the Stats Can came out with wheat production fell about 38.5%. So they came out with lower harvested area and yields, kind of pushing that production down. But again, the market is down here today. So you might be asking, you know, well, why is the market down? And that's where, you know, there's other forces working than just kind of the Stats Can report here today. Minneapolis wheat is trading at about a $2 premium compared to the other wheats. So that's something that I've definitely been talking to clients about and educating them.
Piccolo says markets remain volatile because of uncertainty around the coronavirus. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program. That's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, Ag Review.
The Canadian Grain Commission is getting a better handle on 2021 canola crop quality. Just over 2,000 samples had been analyzed from all three prairie provinces as of November 18th. Veronique Barthet is a research scientist with the Canadian Grain Commission.
Oil content is extremely low, one of the lowest that we have almost in 20 years. The protein content is the highest that we have in 20 years. Chlorophyll content is actually the lowest that we have in forever in all the grades. Usually when you have number two and number three, you have, you know, like 50-60 ppm of chlorophyll. That's not the case this year. So chlorophyll, it's really, really low.
Average canola seed oil content in Western Canada was 42% compared to the 10-year average of 44.4%. There wasn't a lot of difference between the provinces, with Saskatchewan the lowest at 41.8% and Alberta the highest at 42.2%. 91% of canola submitted was number one due to dry harvest conditions in most areas. The average protein content this year was 23.6% on the prairies. The five-year average is 20.5%. Glucosinolate levels are higher than last year, but that will not impact canola meal quality. Manitoba Agriculture advises a new case of a variant H1N2 influenza A flu virus has been identified. This flu virus is related to influenza viruses that circulate in pigs. Influenza viruses from pigs do not normally infect humans. However, sporadic human infections with influenza viruses that normally circulate in pigs have occurred. The virus was detected in October after the individual independently sought testing after developing an influenza-like illness. The individual experienced mild symptoms, was tested, and then recovered. The test came back negative for COVID-19, but was later identified as a case of human influenza H1N2A through regular influenza surveillance processes. Grain elevators across the prairies are facing challenges brought on by the aftermath of the flooding in British Columbia. Wade Sopkowicz, executive director of the Western Grain Elevator Association, says any grain destined for Vancouver, all intents and purposes, is halted. The weather situation in BC has created a backlog on rail lines. Trains on tracks are waiting to get through. Trains spotted for loading at an elevator are still waiting. And loaded cars are sitting on tracks waiting for opportunities to travel to the ports. About 600 rail cars moved last week, much fewer than a normal year. And because of the backlog, elevators are filling up. Farmers can still deliver grain, but space is at a premium. Some prairie farmers have already been asked to reschedule delivery. In Prince Rupert, because there's only one rail line, some goods are being transported based on priority, and sometimes grain isn't high on that list. This backlog is likely to remain for the next while. Sopkowicz says too many trains and cars are stopped to get everything moving quickly. Representatives of the PEI Potato Board traveled to Ottawa yesterday for a meeting with the Federal Agriculture Minister, Marie-Claude Bibeau, the president of the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, and other federal officials to discuss the ongoing U.S. trade issue. On November 22nd, the CFIA banned the sale of table potatoes to the U.S., pinning the temporary decision on broader Canada-U.S. trade relations concerns. The smallest province, Prince Edward Island, is the largest potato-producing province in Canada, growing one quarter of the country's potatoes. The PEI Potato Board estimates that more than 300 million pounds of potatoes are stranded on the island due to the closure. All four members of Parliament from Prince Edward Island were in attendance at yesterday's meetings, as well as Prince Edward Island's Minister of Agriculture, Blois Thompson. Canada's Outstanding Young Farmer Awards will be announced later today. It's a competition for producers under the age of 40 who get at least two-thirds of their income from the farm. Saskatchewan's representatives are dairy farmers Michael and Jessica Lovich from Balgoni. And that's the AgriView portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will be back in 60 seconds' time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's sunny and minus 4 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at 1 o'clock. The Manitoba Pork Council is warning of a labor shortage in the agriculture industry. Over 40% of Canadian farm operations have indicated they didn't have sufficient staff in 2020. General Manager Cam Dahl is very concerned.
This is an issue that has been growing for some time, where it's been getting harder and harder to fill the need for skilled labor on the farm and skilled labor to support agriculture. That really has been exacerbated by COVID-19. It's gotten a lot harder to bring in foreign workers, for example, to fill some of those positions. And all around, if you look, the help wanted signs are out in almost every window you can look at in businesses in rural Canada these days, and it really is at a point where it's inhibiting the growth and development that people have for their operations, and in some cases it's even become a question of can we keep going? And if we can't get staff to come into the barns, if we can't get swine technicians, it's going to be difficult for some people to keep operating, and it's definitely a brake on further growth and development.
Rural depopulation in Canada certainly isn't helping the situation.
That really is part of the beginning of this problem, where we're seeing our rural population decrease, and there's fewer farm families and fewer farm kids that want to come back and work on the farm and carry on with the operation. So that's part of the beginning. And it's also hard to get people from urban Canada to look at agriculture as a really interesting career. So we're not just looking for people to fail labor jobs. We're looking for people to fill careers. If you look at agriculture, it's not just animal agriculture, it's all of agriculture that's on the cutting edge of genetics. It's on the cutting edge of animal health and nutrition. And it's a really interesting place to be. And as an industry, we need to do a better job of talking to people who are planning their careers, because agriculture should be a choice for a lot more than we're seeing today.
I understand you had a chance to review the latest statistics provided by the Canadian Agricultural Human Resource Council concerning the labor shortage.
Looking over the past year, over 40% of agriculture respondents were not filling the positions that they need to run their operations, and that's even higher for the pork industry, where that's over 50%. And before the end of the decade, we're going to be close to short 125,000 spots in agriculture in Canada. So this is something that needs to be addressed. And they said it's not a crisis that happened overnight. It's an issue that has been growing. But agriculture as a whole needs to come together and look for solutions to the labor problem.
I've also heard it's quite difficult to find veterinarians interested in treating large animals.
You're absolutely right. We have a vet shortage and a vet technician shortage. It's not just the veterinarians, but the technical staff that they need to help run their practices. We're short across the country of large animal vets. So of course that applies to the swine industry, but it also applies to the beef side, and whether it's bison or sheep, or we're short vets. And you're right, the draw is to vets to help take care of our pets and the animals we have about our home, but it's harder and harder to find people to take on those large animal practices. So yes, the labor crunch, it's in the barn, but it's outside of the barn too, whether it's vets or technicians or transport drivers, people to work in feed mills, support industries. It's a real problem.
So how would you like to see this labor crunch addressed?
Well, I think there's a couple of fronts. As I mentioned, this isn't something that individual commodity groups can tackle on their own anymore. We need to have a whole of agriculture approach and really collaborate across the industry and across the country to help solve this problem. It's a two-front issue. One, talked about convincing more Canadians to consider agriculture as a career. That means getting into our schools and our colleges to talk about, what an interesting career agriculture can be. It also means making the industry more attractive. Do we need to do things with healthcare or flexible hours? Those kinds of things to make agriculture more attractive for Canadians. And then we also need to fill some of those spots with new Canadians. And that means simplifying the process for operations to access that pool of labor. It means having the right training in place, whether it's at our colleges or separate training programs for new Canadians to come in and have the skills that they need to work on our farms and in our support sectors. Those 125,000 spots are not going to be filled by Canadians alone. So we need to be a bit creative in how we ensure that those positions are open for agriculture and for rural Canada.
Are the federal, provincial, and territorial ministers addressing the labor shortage?
It's definitely on the radar. I think there's a strong awareness of the issue, whether it's in at the political level. Federal and provincial ministers have all highlighted the issue as a priority. Not seeing the solutions yet, but hopefully we can see that. And again, we all are also seeing that agriculture coming together a little bit to work on that problem. I know here in Manitoba we have a labor task group that includes all the commodity organizations under the umbrella of Keystone Agriculture Producers. So that the issue is being recognized and it's understood the seriousness of the problem. We just need to get some of those solutions in the window.
Cam Dahl is the general manager of the Manitoba Pork Council. Please stay tuned. Your livestock market conditions are coming up next.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for February trading at 139 even, down 57. April live cattle trading at 142.15, down 45. January feeder cattle trading at 164.32, that's down 145. March feeder cattle trading at 167.30, down 102. February lean hogs trading at 81.30. Down 70. April lean hogs trading at 85.52, down 80. And that's the livestock market conditions. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will be back right after these messages. Welcome back to GX and Agriculture. BC's agriculture minister has provided an update on the situation in that province following last month's flooding event. Lana Popham made her comments late yesterday afternoon.
I've been on the ground out in the Fraser Valley over the last couple days, and I have continued to have meetings with staff, associations, and directly with farmers. The weather looks to be a bit more dry over the next couple days, which will be critical for removal of carcasses. Currently, there are still about 819 farms that are under evacuation. We know at this point there are 628,000 poultry reported dead, 420 dairy cattle deceased, and approximately 12,000 hogs. And also of note, there is 110 beehives that have been submerged. The work by farmers and volunteers and companies to clean out barns and to remove those animals continues to be extremely heartbreaking. And I request that folks remain empathetic and caring in their comments as they continue to do this very difficult work. I've been in constant contact with farmers through the latest series of storms, and they're continuing to show their incredible resilience. We had about 10 cattle liners lined up in Abbotsford over the last storm, but that was going to help with relocation, but they weren't needed, thankfully. We are getting many donation centers set up to help with feed and supplies that are coming in. Having to find places for donations is a good problem to have. The generosity of people is exceptional. I met with the BC Agriculture Council on Tuesday and will continue to work closely with them to ensure that farmers are supported. They're going to be assisting us with dispersing important information to associations and directly to farmers. On Monday, I visited the Abbotsford Emergency Operations Center, and I talked with staff who are set up right there in the community. There's also a dedicated branch of the Emergency Operations Center set up to assist directly with agricultural producers. Our teams are really strong out there, and they continue to be at the other end of the phone lines. They are organized into teams in those rooms, and the staff at the Emergency Operations for Agriculture assisting with safe location of live animals where needed. They're supporting the feeding and on-care on-site care for some of the livestock that are still in areas of flooding, and facilitating and removal of the disposal and deceased animals, of course. They're also ensuring that the permit system is working well so that farmers can get in and out of the evacuation areas to tend to their livestock. That work's happening in Abbotsford on the ground, but there's also work happening up through the Nicola Valley. About 60 animals have been moved, and another 75 are in the process of being relocated. We're also working with them to make sure that they've got enough feed to make it through the winter, and that's going to be an ongoing challenge. Yesterday, I met with Minister Bibeau to discuss agri recovery package to help our farmers recover and return to production. Our government and the federal government want to be sure that we have the most comprehensive package in place, so it's important that we continue to hear from people directly. My staff continues to reach out, and we've had about 1,500 touch points at this time. The outreach is going to continue to be important over the next number of months, and most likely over the next year. In the interim, we are also allowing late participation in the Federal Provincial Agri-Stability Program for 2021. This program provides funding to farmers who have experienced declines due to crop loss or livestock loss. The late participation means that BC farmers that are not currently enrolled for 2021 can now enroll, and they can enroll up to December 1st, 2022. And you can get a hold of the ministry if you need that information. We're still in the process of quantifying losses, whether it be animal crops or plant crops, and we hope to firm up those numbers as the waters recede. For blueberry producers, the waters reached depths of over 8 feet, and some are still under quite heavy amounts of water. It's about 700 acres of blueberries in the Sumas Prairie, and we're not going to be able to know the full extent of the damage of those plants, but I did have a really good chat with Satnam Negra. He's been growing blueberries in the Sumas Prairie for 40 years, and he has 42 acres of blueberries. It was really important for him that the assessment not be done until about April, because it's at that point the berries will break dormancy and be able to show if they survived or not. He feels quite hopeful because he said that a lot of his plants are underwater on and off every winter, and so he feels that they're quite strong. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed for him. Even though it's not blueberry season, there's still plenty of opportunities for people to support our blueberry and all berry growers in BC. We estimate that there are about 7 million pounds of frozen blueberries in our system here in BC. And so if you want to do your part and support our berry growers, go out and get some frozen berries from your grocery stores and buy BC, just to show how important those farmers are to all of us. This evening, my federal counterpart, Minister Bibeau, and I have a roundtable call with a wide range of agricultural producers and associations, so Minister Bibeau can hear directly from them what they need, and so that we can continue working on our joint federal-provincial response. We want to assess and quantify the damages sustained by the floods, and we're working with the utmost urgency alongside our federal counterparts to try and get that package organized. The stories we hear on the ground, they're harrowing and they're heartbreaking, but as ministers of agriculture, we need to hear those stories to understand the full extent of the support that's needed. And just to finish off, a farmer wanted me to let people know that the generosity of British Columbians is coming through loud and clear. He's lost his home, and he was in Canadian Tire picking up a pair of gloves and a frying pan so he can make some breakfast. And a staff person came over and asked him to go to customer service. And when he got there, he was told there'd be no charge, and they wished him well. These are the stories that help us all carry on. And these are the stories that will help us get back up and start again.
That's BC Agriculture Minister Lana Popham speaking at a news conference late yesterday afternoon. Please stay tuned. Your Commodities Update is next.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures are trading up across the board this afternoon. January canola trading at $10.28.80. That's up $6.20. March canola trading at $9.98.20, up $13.10. March Minneapolis wheat trading at 10.21 per bushel, down 21 and a quarter cents. March Kansas City wheat trading at 8.22 and a quarter, down 20 cents. March Chicago wheat trading at $8 and a quarter of a cent, that's down 14 and three quarters of a cent. March corn trading at 5.83 and three quarters, up 7 cents. January soybeans trading at 12.64 and a half, that's up 20 and a quarter cents. March oats trading at 7.11 and three quarters, down 22 and a quarter cents. And that's the commodities update. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. The Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission 2021 director election has resulted in two current directors being re-elected, a former director being re-elected, and a first-time candidate joining the board of directors. The four elected candidates are Robert Stone, who lives near Davidson. Rob has been a full-time farmer and seed retailer since 2003. He sat on his RM council and was an active member of the Davidson Kinsmen Club for many years. Another one of the elected candidates is Scott Hepworth, who farms near Assiniboia. Scott previously served as a Sask Wheat director from 2016 to 2020, serving as vice chair for 2 years. He has been active in his community, serving on several local boards. Another one of the elected candidates is Jake Legee, who farms near Weyburn. Jake was first elected as a Sask Wheat director in 2017 and has served as vice chair of the board and as a Sask Wheat representative on the boards of directors of Cereals Canada and the Canadian Research Coalition. And the other one being elected was Brett Halstead, who farms near Nokomis. Brett was elected as a Sask Wheat director in 2017 and has served as chair of the board since January of 2020. Brett sits as a Sask Wheat representative on the board of directors of Cereals Canada. Each candidate will serve a 4-year term. They will be joining four existing directors on the board: Leslie Kelly of Watrous, Glenn Tate of Meota, and Jocelyn Valestuck of Broadview. The recently elected directors' terms will start at the Sask Wheat Annual General Meeting, which will be held on Monday, January 10th at Prairieland Park in Saskatoon during the Crop Production Show. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture returns right after this. We're back on GX on Agriculture, and it was a very dry fall over much of central and southwestern Saskatchewan. Environment Canada has released the official precipitation statistics for September, October, and November, and it was a continuation of the very dry conditions experienced over the summer. Terry Lang is a meteorologist based in Saskatoon.
Poor old Saskatoon could only get 22.5 millimeters in 3 months compared to what they should get, which was around 67 millimeters, so made it the fourth driest in 123 years.
It wasn't much better at North Battleford, Prince Albert, and Swift Current. All three locations received between 36 and 44% of normal precipitation over the September, October, and November periods. As for temperatures,
most stations came in the top 10 for warmest falls, so quite significant that way. There's the more central regions weren't as warm, but they were still, you know, quite warm, but not as warm as the other ones. And the closer you got to the Arctic, which is, of course, warming really quickly, the closer you got to there, the warmer it became.
Meantime, snow cover is variable around the province, with bare ground in the southwest and plenty of snow in north-central and northeast regions of Saskatchewan. It's now 1 o'clock, and that means it's time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, partly to mainly sunny, winds west-northwest at 20 to 40 and gusting higher at times, the temperature steady near minus 5. For tonight, clear, winds southwest at 10 to 20 and a low of minus 14. Tomorrow, increasing cloud, winds northeast at 10 to 20, a high of minus 6. For Sunday, cloudy with a 60% chance of flurries, winds northwest at 15 to 25, a high of minus 15, then falling. For Monday, sunny, a high of minus 22, Tuesday, sunny, a high of minus 15. In the Paw, it's minus 11 degrees. Swan River and Roblin are at minus 5. Dauphin and Show Lake Russell, minus 4. Brandon, minus 2. Regina, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, minus 3. Saskatoon, minus 7. Hudson Bay, minus 8. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, minus 6. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a west wind at 41, gusting to 55 kilometers an hour. 63% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 4 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 13 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again on Monday at 12:15 for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.